Hey, greetings everyone. This is Brother James, DontParish.com, John 424 Radio. Hey, coming to you once again, back at our Matthew verse-by-verse audio study. We're in Matthew 16. We're going to pick up at verse 13. You can go back at DontParish.com, look at the verse-by-verse tab, catch up with all of the other past studies. But right now we're in Matthew 16, verse 13. Let's start right off. By the way, I had a great day today with a brother. We had some fellowship time. We walked around. We got to share the gospel with some fishermen. We had a couple walk up at our table in the park, and we got to share the gospel with them. It was a glorious day. And I am thankful I get to end the day by doing this verse-by-verse audio study with you saints and any seekers that are listening in. Matthew 16, starting at verse 13. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that the Son of Man am?" All right, so here we see Jesus heads off into a new area, and he asks the question of his disciples, who do people say he is? Now, first let's look at this term, Son of Man. This, if you study it, is a lowly title, which is linking Jesus to man and not to God the Father. When you compare it to something like Lord of Lords and Kings of Kings. Revelation 19, 16. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So this Son of Man, it's more of a lowly term, humble term. Jesus is showing us his humility here. It's used about 84 times in the New Testament to describe him, Son of Man. This shows us that he came to serve us. He came as a man, linked to men. He didn't always parade himself around as God, didn't lift himself up. He was about the lowly service in his ministry. He taught us to serve. Son of Man denotes this well for all of us. In comparison, Son of God, which would lift him up, right, is used only 40 times in the New Testament. So we see this good example to us that Jesus was lowly, seeking to serve. That's what we should be doing. Son of Man, very, very important topic or term right there. Verse 14. And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, and one or one of the prophets." All right. So here they proclaim to him what people are saying, that some of the people thought he was a prophet brought back to life. If you recall in our early Matthew study, Herod, the ruler, thought Jesus was John the Baptist reincarnated. The Matthew 14 verse 2 says that. And there was some Jewish myths and rumors of the day that God would raise up Old Testament prophets. So there might have been some of that going around with Jesus in that time. All these people seemed to miss who Christ was, the Messiah, and that the Torah had predicted his coming, and he was standing right before them, and they missed it completely. And this isn't really a surprise. The Bible actually tells us that his people would reject him and miss him. Psalm 118:22. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. So God's word is so complete. It shows us and tells us that his people would reject him. And these people are saying, "Oh, we think he's a prophet. He's this one come back, this one come back." But they missed who he is, because they were not rightly discerning. They were not rightly dividing the Torah. They were not looking for all the signs to see who Christ really was. Verse 15. And he said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." All right, so Jesus turns it from what others are saying about him. And Jesus is asking, who do they say he is? Peter tells him, "You are Christ, Son of the living God." All right, that term Christ. In the Greek is Christos. It means anointed Messiah. Yeah. Now this is a lifted up term far above Son of Man. So Son of Man, lowly term. Messiah, anointed one. Christos, the Christ. That's a lifted up term. Clearly he was worthy of that term. Peter saw it. And we're about to see what Jesus says about that. Verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. All right. So Peter got this right. Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. And Jesus said, the Father revealed it to you. I like that. This is perfectly in line with what we see the Spirit doing. The Spirit revealing truth to all of us. John 14, John 16 tells us the Spirit will reveal all things and all truth. And keep this in mind, while Peter isn't indwelt with the Holy Spirit, no, the Spirit was still active in those days in the Old Testament before Pentecost in Acts 2 when the Spirit fell. He was active in the Old Testament saints. Remember, David talked about the Spirit of God being upon him. Withhold not your spirit from me. Exodus 35, 31. And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. So the Spirit was moving and active in the Old Testament. It just was not indwelling full time as it is today when you're born from above. So Peter got that from the Father. Jesus says it was revealed by the Father. This shows us, saints, today that we really need to rely on God's Spirit all the more. It dwells in us. It reveals deep truth to us. Without it, we're in the flesh. We're hopeless. We're not going to see full truth. Romans 8, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. All right? So you got to have the Spirit of God to be of God. Makes sense. It's by the Spirit we come to the knowledge of God's truth. Remember that, saints, as you witness to people, family members, friends, neighbors, co-workers. It has to be by Spirit and truth, not the flesh. No one's going to get it in the flesh. No one's going to come to their own fleshly understanding. It must be by Spirit and truth that they will come to this and have the transformed heart and mind to see God's word, and it'll become alive to them. What a glorious thing. Verse 18. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Okay, this is a very controversial verse. The Roman Catholic pagan church uses this verse to say Peter was the first pope, and they built their entire false, man-made, corrupt religious system on it. But we're going to expose that using God's word. We never take one verse and just run with it. We look at a verse, and then we always see what other verses say about that topic or that theology, right? All right, let's look at God's word. First, the name Peter in Greek is Petros. This means a stone or a small rock. Some people have said pebble. Jesus says, on this rock he will build his body. I don't like the word church. I'll explain that in a minute. His body. This word rock is Petra. It means a mass of rock. Peter is a little stone or pebble. Rock is a big stone or a mass. Who's the Petra, the rock of the ages? Is it a man? Or is it God? No, it's clearly God. Psalm 71:3. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may dwell continually. Resort. Thou hast given commandment to me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. That wasn't a man. That was God himself. God is the rock. It's all through the Old Testament. It's not any man. Petros was a small rock. Petra is the rock of Christ he'll build his body on. Next, God has never built his truth on one man. Nope. He allows men to help him build it, like with Paul and the prophets and the apostles. But his truth is built on him as the main cornerstone foundation. Ephesians 2:20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Christ is the cornerstone. Everyone else built upon that. Not a man, not a pope, not Peter. Jesus is that main rock, not Peter. Next, Peter, later in his own writings, never considered himself the leader and the pope of God's body. He himself said this in 1 Peter 5:1, "The elders which are among you, I exhort, whom am also an elder and witness of the suffering of Christ." Peter said he was an elder. Jesus did not make Peter pope. The Roman Catholic Church didn't come along for many centuries after this. Then their corrupt system was started. Peter says he's a fellow elder. He was not a pope. How much more evidence do you need? Even in the book of Acts chapter 15, when they had the Jerusalem Council, who was the leader in the Jerusalem body? James, not Peter. Yeah, Peter was not the pope. Notice also Jesus said, "On this rock I will build my church," it says. Well, I don't like that word church. That means like a religious organization. Ekklesia is the Greek word. Remember this, saints. It means called out ones. Yeah, that's a lot like being holy, isn't it? Being separate. Church is a bad translation. Called out ones. Holy ones. He builds his body and he adds to it, not any man. Acts 2 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I like to use the word body, ecclesia, called out ones. The word church means a religious building and assembly here in America and most of the world. That's corrupt churchianity. I don't like that definition. Also, Paul always had multiple elders to oversee local bodies, not one man, not one man over all of them. Titus 1:5, "For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou should set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I have appointed thee." Multiple elders in every New Testament body was the goal, the ordained way of God. Not one pope ruling over the whole entire body of Christ. That's ridiculous, foolish, and heretical. So in these few verses, that as we just read ahead, as we read ahead in the next verses, you're also going to see Jesus rebuke Peter. In the next study, we'll get to that. He calls Peter Satan. Yeah, hardly the person that you would build the eternal body of Christ upon. You see what I'm saying? So for all these reasons, we can easily conclude Peter was not the pope. Christ builds his body on himself, the rock. Peter was a stone or a pebble. The New Testament body is all about Christ as its foundation, with the godly men he called as helpers. Hope that explains that verse for you. Peter's not the pope. He didn't even say he was a pope. He's a fellow elder. Study that out. Make sure you got that right. You're going to run into Roman Catholics. They need to know that. I use it all the time when I street preach. Peter said he was an elder, not a pope. They have nothing to say about it. I've asked priests that, Roman Catholic professors. They really have no good answer for that. Cling to that. It works. Verse 19, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." All right. So this is another verse where it gets very confusing, and people always try to say, "Oh, see, he gave Peter all power." Well, that's not exactly true. Not true at all. We have to understand Jesus is not giving Peter unlimited power as a pope. We just proved he's not the pope. He's not getting unlimited power. The key here is understanding binding and loosing. This was symbolic. In the Jewish culture, it was a way of saying what was allowable and what was not allowable. That's what binding and loosing means. And I'm going to tie it to doctrine in a minute. Let's look at this verse. Isaiah 58:6. "Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. So we see here, loosing is about going against evil. In this verse, what Jesus is telling Peter is he's going to have power, but it wasn't for Peter alone, it was for all the apostles and all the saints to come. We know that Paul and others had miraculous signs. They could raise people from the dead, heal them, just as Jesus said they would. But then the gospel, the ultimate power, was going to happen as they went out and proclaimed Christ crucified, making disciples, teaching them to obey everything he commanded, Matthew 28:20. This fits perfectly well with the idea of binding and loosing in the New Testament body. It's by doctrine, instructions. This is how we bind and we loose things. This is how we teach people to live and not to live. And this goes perfectly with Luke 4:32. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. So the binding and the loosing is going to be what's allowable in the New Testament body of Christ. And how is that done? Just by man's whim? No. It's by the doctrines of Christ, teaching them to obey everything he's commanded. Understand binding and loosing and what it was. It doesn't mean Peter had unlimited power as Pope. He wasn't a Pope. He didn't have unlimited power. Christ was saying, teach the doctrines I've handed down. Apostle Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2:15, keep the traditions I've handed down. This is how we bind. This is how we loose. Very, very important doctrine to understand. Verse 20. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ, Messiah, right? Very interesting. He tells them, don't tell anybody I'm that man, or I'm that person, or I'm the Christ. Christ is warning them to keep it quiet, and here's why, I believe. His ministry and his identity was being played out, and the masses could affect his ministry and make it difficult for him to fulfill the Father's will. They already tried once to force him to be king. Go read about that in John 6:15. If the masses move in on him and they cause major issues, the Roman soldiers who occupied Israel at that time, they could cause massive change in what Christ was doing, what he could do in his ministry. He was interested in living in a way that was fulfilling the Father's plan. He was being discreet and very wise about telling who was who, or telling who he was to who. Now later, after his resurrection, he says, go tell everybody, preach it to all creation. Right? And you can find that in Mark 16:15. Go preach the gospel to all creation. But before that, it was not so. He wanted to keep who he was limited so that his ministry wouldn't be limited, so that it wouldn't be, he wouldn't be kept from fulfilling the Father's will, becoming the Lamb of God, raising from the grave, and then going out as Paul did and preaching the biblical gospel. It was not his time yet for everyone to know who he was, but after he was resurrected, oh, there was the time, amen, there's the time for everybody to know who he was. So that's why he said, don't tell anyone, or he charged his disciples they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Do you remember, the masses were not well-meaning. Yep, they wanted food, they wanted miracles, they wanted a king to set them free from Rome. He knew this. His main goal was to fulfill the Father's will, keeping it under the cover who he really was until his resurrection was exactly how that would happen. Hey, we're going to leave it right there for today. Next time in Matthew 16, we're going to start up at verse 21. I really appreciate you going along, studying along with me. There are saints and seekers all over the world listening to these, following these teachings. Old saints, middle-aged saints, really young saints, seeking the things of God. What a glorious, joyous thing we all get to do. It's glorious that we get to see God's Word transform us. make us more like our Master, Savior, Messiah, and King. And I just play a small part in this all. God is so gracious to let me do it. We love you all. We care for your soul. The people we're united to know that. We show it daily as they show it to us. Hey, if you're out there and we don't know you, reach out, email, contact us. We'll encourage you in the faith. Maybe we'll have full unity. And we can love on you and you can love on us. We love to have unity in the things of Christ. Go out and have a glorious day. Let me know if you have any questions. Be back at you at Matthew 16, starting at verse 21, very, very soon, as the Lord wills. Going to go out and street preach Christ crucified this weekend. What a glorious job I have. Preaching Christ, making disciples, teaching his word. I do not deserve this life. I'm not worthy. But you know what? I do strive to be worthy every day. And thankfully, I have saints to help me do that as I help them. God is so good. Hey, we love you all. Till next time, have a glorious day. May God be praised.